Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. In his message titled, The Madding Crowd, Reverend David Williams tells us that we all seek calm from our lives that are filled with stress. When we feel the need, we should rest, but we need to remain true to the kind of people that God calls us to be. God asks us to give grace and love to others. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather in this place today as we gather each week, seeking a moment of stillness and sanctuary and solace in a world that is filled with rush and stress and busyness. But this is the season where we start thinking about times set aside for rest, set aside for restoration. And the challenge in that is finding that balance. We want those places of rest. We need those places away, or else the world will make us a little nuts. But also, we need to remain connected. We can't let our yearning for rest be a yearning for removal from places of compassion and caring. And so we try to live into that tension between giving ourselves space to breathe and remembering to stay connected, and we often don't get that right. Sometimes we hide away when we should connect, and other times we let ourselves run and run and run until the stress consumes us. Let's right now admit that we often get that balance off. Let's do so through the prayer of confession that's in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, seeing ourselves as pure when we are not, and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Mark's gospel. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. That's Mark chapter 6, 30 through 34. Let's listen again for God's word. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them. many things. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Time away is important. It's one of those things that we just need to do, taking Sabbath space in our lives to catch our breath and reorient ourselves and get ourselves back and feeling faintly sane again before things get nuts again. And we repeat that cycle over and over. And it's hard for us to do that, I think, and it's gotten harder. I recall that being a challenge when I was a youngling, because when I was a kid, some vacations were completely sacred spaces set aside from all things. If we were visiting my grandparents, nothing messed with that. But some others were less so, because I was growing up as the child of a radio correspondent whose life moved around news cycles, and time away, even time away that was planned, would sometimes vanish with a single phone call. Like one summer when I was living in England, we were in London and we had this plan, a plan that my parents had been pitching to two very excitable boys for months. And the plan was we were going to take a long boat trip through central England. Now you might say, central England is land. You don't take long boat trips through central England, which is true enough, but one of the wonderful things about Britain is that it's laced through with rivers, and from the early industrial period, it has this huge network of canals, which, like the nearby CNO, were the way that the British used to transport goods in the early industrial era, sort of right pre-rail. That was how early industrial England moved all of the stuff that they were producing. And now, they're not used for that. They're kind of a vacation destination for the British. What you do is you rent this motorized canal narrowboat, long waterborne Winnebago. And you putter around in the heart of England. You ride through these little canals in Cheshire and Shropshire and Worcestershire and Staffordshire, and you wave at the Shire people and the hobbity folk who are sitting there, because that's what it's like, of course. It's so very British. It's a unique thing to do. And, you know, as a kid, as a boy, we're going to spend 2 weeks on this little boat, and we had to learn, like, here's what we're going to have to negotiate canal locks, because you have to do that. And we're going to see all these little towns and park our boat in the middle of the land and travel up and down rivers. And we were so excited. And we were like 4 weeks out, and there was a developing international crisis, and Dad was going to have to work. And so we just didn't do it. Didn't happen. So the next year, we were going to go to Scotland, because we've got Scots blood, and we're finally going to do that trip to go see all of the stuff. And my folks sprung for this hotel, and we rented a car because the Austin that my parents owned could not be trusted to make it more than like 20 or 30 miles without an electric problem, and they didn't want to bother with that. And Dad made the point of not leaving a forwarding phone number. And so we get to the hotel, and we're unpacking, and there's a call. You know, Mr. Williams has a call from Washington. because there was another international crisis, and he called the office, Washington called the stringer who was doing work for my dad, who was supposed to fill in, where is he? And he was like, you didn't leave a number. Do you know where he's staying? He was like, yeah. And so we drove back from Scotland to London. I don't remember the conversation my mom had with my dad on that return trip. For some reason, that's not in my memory anymore. But that was the end of what ended up being a one-day vacation that was mostly on motorways going north and back south. And that was what it was, but those are sort of the only two times I can remember that happening. Most of the time, vacations were time away. Because back in the day, time away was time away, and the office was far off, and thoughts of work could be banished. And that whole thing now seems kind of quaint. It really does. Because we don't take vacation now, we Americans, as we used to. On the average, Americans get 10 days off a year, inclusive of holidays. Or we're supposed to. There was a study from way back in May of this year that showed that 47% of the Americans who get those 10 days don't take all of them because they're too stressed about work to want to leave it behind. If you leave work, things won't get done. You won't be competitive. You won't get that promotion. You've got to stay. Or you'll come back and you'll have 67,000 emails, of which 4 are legitimate, but you know, there's too much stress. So you don't want to leave. And yet, even as we do travel, when we travel, we bring our little magical devil rectangles in our pockets with us. And that same research showed that now half of the Americans who do manage to take vacation do check work email occasionally, you know, just once or twice, an hour, because we can't break ourselves away. It's hard. It's hard now in this era of constant connection, and it is easy to suggest that this is a singular sickness of American culture, the sign that we've wandered into some strange, endless, dystopian churn of labor. And there's truth to that, but you know, it's also hard to completely separate yourself from work that you care about. It's more complex than that. This morning in Mark's gospel, we hear that Jesus and the disciples seem to they're having some work-life balance struggles. And Jesus himself had been sharing and teaching the gospel, gathering huge crowds around who listened and questioned and puzzled over this strange prophet rabbi who had so many odd stories. And this passage comes right after Jesus has sent his disciples out to spread the word. They have been traveling through Galilee two by two, teaching and healing and trying to get people to take them into their homes. But they were tired. The work of the gospel was intense, and they returned to Jesus, moving a little slowly and a little more heavily, and Jesus said, seeing them, it's time to rest a while. Let's get into the boat. Let's go find someplace quiet. In the Greek of Mark's gospel, that little quiet place he's going it's a very, very, very quiet place. The term, let us go somewhere desolate, is closer to Jesus' intention, seeking out that nameless place in the wilderness where there is no one and nothing, just silence. And that means, you know, he's not thinking, let's go to Ocean City. He's thinking, let's go find someplace on the south coast of Alaska you can only get to by seaplane and where the best and nearest Wi-Fi is 60 to 70 miles away. That's the kind of location he's seeking us. And that sounds really nice. It does. But this is because Jesus himself, as we've heard and journeyed with him through the Gospels, he knew the value of times of wilderness, the need for the soul to be away from the stir and the foment and the distraction of crowds. So Jesus hears this and piles the disciples into the boat. And I guess they have visions of fishing and sitting, talking and sleeping, and fishing and sitting and talking and sleeping. Just rest for a while, restoration. And it'd be great if the story just stopped right there, because then I would have a nice, clean sermon where it would be like, all right, Jesus says your vacations are important. How timely. Thank you, lectionary. But it doesn't stop there, because Mark is stubbornly unwilling to have this story act as a convenient anecdote about how Americans don't take enough time off. We hear that those efforts, that striving to reach and find a place of quiet, don't work out. Jesus hasn't set his out-of-office message correctly, and he's given a way in, and they are seen as they depart. And word gets out that he and the apostles are on their way to what they thought was a secure and undisclosed location, which means when they show up, there's a crowd waiting when they arrive. And to see Peter in the boat looking out. Oh no, they thought they were away. It's like, you know, arriving at the beach and you lay out your towel and you sit down and you look over and it's your manager. And they're right there and they've got their laptop out and they're like, hey. I'm like, no. Because the disciples were tired, and Jesus was most likely tired. But his response is not no. He doesn't say, we're turning this boat around. He does not say that. We hear that seeing them, Jesus was overcome with compassion. He knew why the crowds were there. He knew how hungry they were for teaching and for grace and for healing. He saw people who were lost and struggling in need of guidance. And after putting one foot on the soil to walk towards them, he kept walking. That's why the arc of this short tale sings strangely in our stressed, obsessed, and anxious culture. Jesus chooses to stride forward towards that madding crowd, but he's not making that choice because he's grasping, or he needs anything, or he's anxious. He is moved from his heart of compassion and the essence of who he was, not because he's afraid that the good Lord will be concerned that his, you know, I'm concerned your work ethic is not sufficient, Jesus. We're going to have to take this up at your quarterly review. And this encounter is therefore peskily complicated. But there are two things, I think, that can be taken away from it. First, that Jesus does affirm that need for rest in life, affirms that Sabbath has its purpose and has its place. Here in the condensed intensity of a ministry that was only going to be 3 years long, and that time does fly, you've got to change the whole world and bend the arc of the world towards grace. You have 3 years to do it. That wouldn't make most people feel like, I've got some time off here, and I'm gonna take a long weekend. From that place, he still affirms, we are tired. He knows the toll that was levied on his small circle of disciples as they got out there and spread the message of the good news to communities that sometimes wanted to hear and sometimes wanted to throw rocks at them. He knew that was not easy. And seeing their fatigue, he made a point of saying, "Y'all are tired, I can see it. Recover, rest. Let's get in the boat and go someplace quiet." From compassion, he called them to take that restorative time. And we can still hear that. For us, finding that place where the endless rush and bluster of contemporary life can be stilled and calm is significant. And it's hard. Because, I mean, we're not really away from anything, from any period of time now. Taking time away requires intention. It requires focus. If we are to silence the mobs that shout and cry for our attention as we carry them around in our pockets. So that's a teaching. And it stands in constructive tension with another thing that Jesus shows us here, which is that even when seeking out that place of calm and desolation, Jesus wasn't willing to forget who he was and what his purpose was. Whoever he encountered, wherever he encountered them, Jesus would see need for healing, see need for growth, and he would do that thing in that moment that honored his calling and manifested the compassion that defined him. It was both things at the same time, and they're kind of different. And that can be a challenge for us. When we want everything to be neatly one thing, we're off. We're different. This is right. We're set the world aside. Forget about it. And on the other hand, the need to remain true to our calling, no matter what we're doing, and those things. Old comic books, they used to have this thing, I don't know if anyone remembers it, Charles Atlas's Dynamic Tension. Anyone ever see those ads in old comic books, or am I just really old now? I think that's probably it. Dick, thank you. There's this idea that there's strength in a tension between two things. Hegel would have called it a dialectic. You have a thing and then you have its opposite, and somewhere in between them lies the truth that you can live into. Charles Atlas, Hegelian dialectic. They're the same thing, exactly the same thing. That's what we find here. Jesus expressing two things that are very true. His need to show compassion, grace, learning and truth, and live into who he was, and the need for rest, standing in a constructive tension that defines how we are to approach vocation in our own lives. Being true to ourselves, seeing the need for rest, taking that time, and yet at the same time, knowing that we don't leave ourselves behind when we take time away. Just like children don't stop learning and growing just because it's summer in a formerly agrarian culture. As we move into this summer, as we move further into the doldrums of August, hold on to the truth of that. Take time and space to breathe and rest. And at the same time, remain true to who God is calling you to be, wherever you might find yourself. It is a challenge to know how to be in that tension, but it is part of the reality of our lives. And with God's grace, we'll know what to do with it. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
The idea that we have a labor, that we have a purpose, that we have something to turn the energies of our life towards in this
whole gospel of Jesus thing, right? It's a good and powerful truth. And the idea that we don't have a ton of time to do it is equally true. But even with that reality present, that our lives are short and that the opportunities to show love and grace and kindness are bounded by those hours of our life, that doesn't mean there aren't points where rest is a real and necessary thing. When we feel tired, when we feel burdened, when we feel like our feet are dragging, it's all right to curl up and take a nap, or to find a quiet place to go and be. And sometimes that's like how that whole thing works out will be beyond us. But we have to live into both of those realities. Not all one, all work, always, constantly, endlessly, until we have burned the candle at both ends so long that there is just smoke in the air and nothing of us left. But also not just idleness. It's a balance between those things that makes us centered, that makes us focused, and that gives meaning and purpose to a life that is both full of vocation and full of moments of blessing and rest. As we step into this upcoming season, I hope we're all able to find that balance between labors that bless life with return and between moments where we can catch our breath, even if it's only on the boat ride to the place that turns out to not be quite as desolate as we thought. Wherever you can, find the balance in that. And from that place, find both restoration and purpose. That is the tension of our path that is both earnest and urgent and gracious and peaceful all at the same time. As you journey it, may you find that way. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.